It's so good to be back here. You know, my wife and I, we were here for 17 years as part of this fellowship. And when we moved, when Robert exiled me up to the White Mountains, it was pretty tough. You know, so many people and that we miss and that. But it's been good last night and this morning to see some old faces and really old faces. I know I've gotten a lot older. It's been 10 years almost since we've been gone. But boy, it's, you know, it's just such a blessing to be here. Would you open your Bibles with me, please, to Exodus 19? And we're going to cover the whole chapter of 19. And I promise you won't be late for lunch, okay? Yeah. It's actually kind of a short chapter. I really believe God wants to speak to us today about some stuff. So Exodus 19. Looks like most of y'all are there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, for who you are, for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. And Father, we thank you that you're here. And as we have worshiped you in song, we now worship you, Lord, by giving heed to your word. By now focusing our attention on what you would have to say. Lord, we want to hear from you, and Lord, we need to hear from you. Help us, Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are ready to receive. Speak to us now, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's teaching is Preparing Ourselves to Hear from God. We live in a very informal society. I think casual describes most of our attire, right? For most of us. And probably for most of our lives. We mostly in our society, we live kind of casual lives. And here at Calvary Chapel, that certainly is the way it is, right? As far as we have that come as you are kind of dress code. You know, in fact, there's really no dress code here. Just as long as you're dressed, that's the code. You got clothes on, you're good. See, we understand that God is much more concerned about our hearts than he is about what we have on. And that's a good thing. But unfortunately, the casual attitude of our culture has crept into places where it never should. And the way that we view God is sometimes too casual, even flippant at times. Certainly, Jesus was easy to approach. He didn't demand any pomp in that. Just people came to him, and they felt at ease coming to him, that they could come to him just as they are. And still today, we can come to him just as we are. We can come to him in all of our mess and all of the sin, and we have to come that way because there's no way to get rid of that sin except through him. We should never think that, man, I really got to clean myself up, then I can come to Jesus. No, we come to Jesus just as we are, and then he cleans us up. See, he doesn't leave us as we come to him. As soon as we come to him and put our trust in what he did on the cross for us, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses every sin. He makes us into new people. We're new creatures in Christ, the Bible says. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, and he begins that sanctification process, that process of conforming us into the image of Christ. And that should be our goal, right? We should have as a goal to be more like Christ every day. And God wants to do that. See, God desires an ongoing relationship with us. He wants that relationship to be close. And he, you know, he's cleansed us and he's removed the sin that separates us from him so that we can have that relationship. But the problem is the ease at which God pours out grace combined with too casual of an attitude can tempt us to approach God flippantly and even diminish the value of the cross. Now, I'm sure there's nobody here that's ever done this. But there are Christians who actually will practice sin knowingly and think, well, it's okay. God's cool with that. God understands. God understands. He understands you're sinning is what he understands. And the thing is, we can get that in our heads that it's okay because of that too casual of an attitude and think that, yeah, I can live however I want and God's going to be okay with that. Folks, sin separates. Sin puts distance between us and God. God doesn't want any distance between us and him. He wants a close, close personal relationship with him. And today we're going to see Israel arrive at Mount Sinai, where they'll receive the Ten Commandments. And we'll see what the Lord says to them about preparing themselves to hear from him and how that might help us to prepare our hearts to hear from the Lord. So let's go ahead and start Exodus 19. Let's start with the first two verses. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. Now, the mountain that he's talking about, Mount Sinai, is also called Horeb in the Bible. And it's the same place where God spoke to Moses from the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And verses 3 through 6, it says, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.'" So the Lord reminds Israel there how he delivered them from their bondage. And really, they were able to leave Egypt like they were carried on eagle's wings, the way that God delivered them and took them out. And he reminds them that he has brought them right to this very spot, to himself. And that if they would obey his voice and keep his covenant, that they would be a special people, a holy, a set apart people, a whole set apart nation. In fact, as he says, a kingdom of priests. See, the Old Testament priests were to represent God to the people, and they were to teach the people God's ways. And the nation of Israel was to be a witness to the rest of the world. So that way the Gentiles could see that there is a true and a living God, and that God blesses those who follow him. And that they would be able to see, wow, man, I get it. Your God is the God of all gods. He's awesome. And he really makes a difference in the lives of those who trust in him. And by keeping his commands, they would be blessed and they would be different. Now, verses 7 through 9, it says, "So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever.' So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord." Every time I read that, "all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And, you know, if you've read the rest of the Old Testament, you know, not so much. They didn't do that. They didn't keep all the words of the Lord. But I believe that they were sincere. I believe that they were sincere in their hearts. Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do everything God says to do. But, you know, we can really fake ourselves out, can't we? We can think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do everything that God says. You know, or, yeah, I'm good. You know, me and God, yeah, we're okay. And it might not be the case, but God is so gracious there. He knows. And you don't see him telling Moses, "Yeah, right, they're going to keep my word." He knew. He knows the future. He knows what they would do. He knows all the sin that they would get into. But yet, he establishes the covenant with them under these conditions. And he does this thing with the thick cloud coming down on the mountain. He says, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to come down to this thick cloud. I'm going to speak to you, Moses. And I'm going to do it in the hearing of the people." so that they will know that you and I are tight and that you do speak for me. And that way they'll trust you, that when you speak to them, they'll know, oh, hey, you know, Moses is talking to us for God. We need to listen. That's the deal here. And so verses 10 and 11, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Now notice this. They were his people. He had set them free. He led them right there to this spot. But they had to prepare themselves to meet with him. They were his. They were a special people. But this was a special occasion. This was something special that God himself was going to meet with them. So they had to prepare. And he tells Moses to consecrate them. Now, to consecrate means to dedicate or to sanctify, to set apart themselves just for God. And to wash their clothes. And this is mostly symbolic, but it really what it's speaking about is that they were to remove the filth of the world that they were walking in. And we'll talk more about this in a few minutes. But I got a question for you, and that is, how do you prepare yourself to meet with God? Think about that for a second. Do you prepare yourself to meet with God? Is there anything that you do before you're going to come before God or before you come to church? Is there anything you do to prepare yourself? Matthew 18, 20, Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, no doubt, the Lord is right there with us. He said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. When we're there at home and we're praying, when you're driving in your car and you're praying, he hears us and he's there. But Jesus promises to meet with us in a special way here when we gather together in his name. And certainly there's more than two or three here today. And we're meeting together in his name. Think about that. The Lord has promised to meet us when we gather in his name. Now, when you're on your way in here today, did you do anything to prepare yourself? Knowing that he was going to meet with you? Knowing that you were coming here to meet with him? Did you examine yourself and say, Lord, is there anything that's in between you and I? Anything that's in the way? Anything that would keep me from hearing from you? Did you repent of any sins that you know about? Did you get a good night's sleep last night? You know, I'm going to church tomorrow. I want to hear from the Lord. I want to be awake. I want to be alert. I want to be attentive. I want to hear from God. Did you do that? I hope you did. I don't see anybody snoozing, so, you know, that's a good thing. Are you eager to hear from the Lord? Is hearing from the Lord important enough to prepare at all? Now, God continues to speak to Moses in verses 12 and 13. It says, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. See, folks, God is holy. He's to be revered. And anything God touches becomes holy, like that mountain. And if somebody was to even touch the base of that mountain, they'd be guilty of such a sin that it demanded capital punishment. And even after that offender was put to death, the people were still not to touch him, that he was so defiled by sin. And wrap your head around that. That's how awesome, how holy, how righteous God is. And without special grace, sinful mankind can't come near a holy and a righteous God. Approaching God, meeting with him, even being near him, that's serious stuff. Now, verses 14 and 15, it says, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Now, he's not saying that there's anything sinful about sex within marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says the marriage bed is undefiled. See, God created sex within marriage, and within marriage, sex is good. I recommend it. Outside of marriage, it's not good. But see, they were to stop all unnecessary, normal behavior and consecrate themselves, consecrate their lives to the Lord. They were to focus on being ready to meet the Lord and to hear from the Lord. Now, we have that same kind of idea in the New Testament about abstaining from physical relationship within marriage to seek the Lord in 1 Corinthians 7:5. He says, do not deprive one another. He's talking about depriving sexually. He says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So it's okay to abstain from sex within marriage so long as both husband and wife agree to intensely seek the Lord for a time. Verses 16 through 20, he says, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now imagine that scene. Just try and put yourself there. This would have been terrifying. You know, all of the people, they come out from their camp and they come to the foot of the mountain, excuse me, and they're looking up. And this cloud, this thick, dark cloud, kind of eerie, comes down. And then you've got the lightning and the thunderings and the ground is quaking. And this fire comes down, kind of like a reverse volcano kind of thing. How many of you guys saw the pictures of that volcano that just erupted a few days ago in Chile? You guys saw that? You see the lightning from the friction there that happened and just how that smoke was coming up? Well, the smoke was going up like a furnace, but the fire actually came down because God was coming down in that. And the people would have been looking on in this awesome sight, man, and the ground's quaking. And then Moses speaks to God, and God speaks back to him and said, come on up here. They would have been, whoa, man, just shaking in their sandals. And so Moses goes up. In verses 21 through 23, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. You can't help but think, at least this is what goes through my mind. Moses just got up there, okay? And now God's saying, hey, go down and warn the people. You know, there's going to be a lot of them that are going to die if you don't go down and warn. And I can't help but think of Moses saying, Lord, I just got up here. This is a hike for an 80-year-old guy. You want me to go right back down? Oh, come on. And then for him to say, the people cannot come up here. Well, maybe they shouldn't come up here, but they could. You know, like God says, they're about ready to break through. There was probably people that watched this whole thing, and after they got over the initial freak out kind of thing, saw Moses go up and thought, oh, wow, man, I would like to see what God looks like. I wonder what's going on. Moses was okay going up. He'll be okay for me. I want to check it out. And God knows that. God knew what was going on in the camp. And so he tells him, no, Moses, go down. Go down and warn the people, lest they break through. And think about this. You might miss this, but what does that say about God? That he tells Moses, don't go back down right now. There's going to be people that might break through. Stop them. You know what that says about the Lord? The Lord cares about people, even those people who would willfully violate his word. They would do exactly what God said, don't do. Now, I know that none of you have ever done that. Right? But think about that, what that says of the grace of God, the mercy of God. See, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God sends Moses back down to warn them because he doesn't want them to die. He loves them. He cares about them. Even the people that would willfully violate his word. Something that was just spoken to them that day. What an awesome God we serve. What a gracious God. Now verses 24 and 25, it says, then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Now, apparently Moses got down in time because we don't read of anybody getting killed. But folks, this is serious stuff. We've got to see that. See, the Lord wants to speak with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. But he also wants us to understand that he is holy. He is righteous. And sin can't come into his presence. Now, got a couple of questions for you. Has God changed since then? Is he not as holy? No, God hasn't changed, right? In Malachi 3:6, God himself says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. See, by the time you get to Malachi, they've not kept hardly any of his commands. And he says, man, if I change, you guys would be toast. And folks, understand that. That goes for us too. If God changed, if he wasn't as forgiving, if he wasn't as merciful, if he wasn't as gracious, if he went back on his promises, we'd all be toast. But he doesn't change. Here's another question for you. Have people changed since then? Are we no longer as sinful as we used to be back then as a people, as humans? Have we changed? No, we haven't. I mean, we've not come to some place of enlightenment, man, and like, you know, I don't sin anymore. No, Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're still toting around that sinful nature, even after we're saved. We still struggle with our flesh, don't we? What has changed, though, is how we prepare ourselves to hear from God. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, it's only by Jesus Christ that we can be made clean, that we can approach God. That's the only way that we can come to the Father, is through Jesus Christ. Because it was Jesus that died on the cross for our sins, who died in our place. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from every sin. And that's the only way that we can be made clean to come before God. That's it. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God, the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, Jesus washes us with his blood. He makes us holy, sanctifies us, you know, sets us apart, and makes us able to have a relationship with God. In Hebrews 10:10, it says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. See, when he died on the cross and he cried out, it is finished. It was finished. That word means it is finished and stands forever finished. Nothing else had to be done to remove our sins, but for us to trust him, to put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that was once and for all. That was done. But see, we too, like Israel, are walking in a dirty world, aren't we? And from time to time, we step in it. And that sin that we step in can hinder our fellowship with God. In Psalm 66, 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." See, if I put more regard for the sin that I might enjoy doing, the sin that I don't want to be inconvenienced by getting rid of, if I regard that iniquity more than my relationship with God, and I'm not willing to get rid of that sin, God himself says, "I'm not listening. I'm not listening to you because that sin has come in the way." See, we've got to be willing to let go of that sin and to let Jesus cleanse us from it. Now, I said that we would look at this a little bit ago and look at it a little bit closer, but see, Jesus illustrated this whole concept in John chapter 13. Remember at the Last Supper when Jesus got up and he put the towel around him and got the bowl of water and went around and washed the disciples' feet? Remember that? And you remember when he got to Peter and Peter says, "No way, Lord, you ain't gonna do it. No way." See, Peter understood what was going on here. He understood, "Man, you're the Lord. And this whole washing the feet thing, that's a job of a slave. That's a job of a servant. No way, Lord." See, if you were wealthy, you would have a house servant. And if people came over, you know, they would you know, bathe before coming. They'd have nice clean clothes on. They'd come over and maybe they're going to have dinner with you or whatever. But the streets were dirt back then, and they didn't wear cowboy boots. They wore sandals, open-toed sandals. You're walking on a dirty street. You may be clean, but your feet are going to get dirty. And so when you got to their door, the servant would meet you there with the water and the towel, and you'd slip off your sandals, and they would wash your feet, dry them, and then you could come on into the house. And so Peter recognized, "Lord, this is totally inappropriate. Ain't going to happen." And do you remember what Jesus said to him? "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Oh, I love Peter's response. "Oh, Lord, don't stop with just my feet then. My head, my hands, everything. I want a relationship with you. I want to be part with you." Folks, if you have been born again, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and what he did on the cross was for you, folks, you're clean. You have been cleansed. But when we sin, we've got to allow him to wash us, to wash our feet. See, it's not a salvation issue that we're talking about this morning. You've had a bath. He's cleansed you. He saved you. But it's a fellowship issue that we're talking about. God wants us near. He wants us close to him, but sin separates. He wants us near, but sin puts distance between us and the Lord. And he wants to remove that sin. And folks, we've got to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction. See, there's this saying, and I hear it every now and then, and when I hear it, it's like in my mind, it's like, you know, warning, warning, you know, danger, Will Robinson. It's that saying that it's like, oh, just follow your heart. Trust your feelings, trust your heart. No way! The Bible says our hearts are desperate, deceitfully wicked. Who can know them? Who can know the heart? You don't even know your heart. Because there are times when you do stuff, and you think, "Yeah, man, I'm cool." And then later on, God convicts you. You ain't cool. He lets you know, man, you're blowing it here. You're sinning. There's times that we don't even know that we are sinning, maybe because you don't know the word. Maybe because you haven't saw where that is sin in the Bible. And then you find out, that's sin? Oh, I just did that. I didn't know that. And God shows you that. God wants to show us our sin, not because he's angry, not because, you know, if you keep doing that, you're it. You're toast. I'm hitting the smite button on you. That's not it. He wants to reveal our sin to us so that we can come closer to him, so we can have a more intimate relationship with him. He loves us that much. And folks, we need to daily examine ourselves. We need to check ourselves out. We need to be praying, Lord, show me. Like David said, Lord, cleanse me even from my secret faults. Because there are those times that we don't know. We're not aware that we're sinning. And because our hearts are so wicked in that, and we need to receive that cleansing of Christ's blood for those sins that we step in from time to time, to be cleansed from that so that we have that close relationship with him. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, understand that word confess. If we were using that today in our modern language, the English term to confess means to verbally admit. Like if you were accused of a crime, and you're sitting on the witness stand and the prosecuting attorney is looking at you and he might point at you, say, come on, confess it. You sinned. You did that crime. Confess it. All he wants is just a verbal admission that you committed that crime. Well, the word underneath that English word confess, the word in the Greek is a deeper word. It means to verbally admit, but it also means to agree with strongly. In other words, God, you saw that. I agree with you. What I just did was sin, and I'm sorry. God, I agree with you so strong. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to sin like that again. I don't want to sin again. Please forgive me, cleanse me, and help me not to do that again. That's what that word cleanses mean. Well, if you do that, he says, he promises that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, to remove anything that would get in the way between us and him. God wants that kind of relationship with us. He loves us that much. What an awesome God we serve. See, when we do that, we'll be prepared to hear from the Lord. That's what the Lord wants from us. If you're not practicing that, if that's not a habit in your life, my prayer, my hope, and I believe God's will is that before you leave today, you would commit to making that a habit. That when you leave here, that this would be something that you do all the time. That you do examine yourself, that you do go before the Lord, and you ask him to reveal any faults that you have, any sin, and to turn from those sins so that you'd have a closer relationship. And if you start practicing that, you'll be surprised how much more you'll hear God speak to you. It'll blow your mind. And that's my prayer today. And I hope that you understand this has not been a message of condemnation, but rather it's a message of love. That God cares for you. He loves you. And he wants that relationship with you. He wants to be close with you. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us. Father, help us. Help us to daily die to our flesh, that we would live to you. Help us to allow you to speak to us. Lord, give us ears to hear when your Holy Spirit would speak to us, to point out sin. Help us not to just blow that off, but Lord, that we would become sensitive to your Spirit, that we would be able to draw even closer to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.